There you go.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. it's really good to be here. I just want to say before we start, I found the passage really challenging for me today. So when I'm kind of throwing thoughts out, don't think I'm standing here like I'm amazing and you guys have all, you know, need to think about what you're doing. So it's been a real challenge for me this week. So when I'm reading things out, I'm challenging myself at the same time. I don't want people to feel like I'm kind of up here sort of as if I know it all, because I really, really don't. I don't know much at all, to be fair. just wanted to encourage you as well before I speak, just about the Pamper Night on Saturday. Please do bring friends if you've got any that are interested in coming, because it is a really nice atmosphere where people can chat and get to know people. And I think the most important thing, part of what I'm talking about today, is about relationships. And if people come and make relationships with other people in the church and see that they're just normal people, you know, and really nice and friendly, that's going to then encourage them more to come to other things that you invite them to at another point that might have a more Christian input into it. So please do invite friends if you're around. That'd be amazing. So last week, Jamie looked at the kingdom of heaven and the parable of the talents, and we're looking at another parable today, which is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've probably heard this story lots and lots of times, usually in Sunday school, and it's a very nice little, you know, oh, we must be nice to everybody, even if we don't like them very much. And that's kind of as far as it goes most of the time. So we're going to look a bit deeper into it today. So we're going to read the passage first. So it's Luke 10, 25 to 37. It should come up on the screen as well for you to see. So on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now, on the surface, the first thing this parable is about, which is very challenging, is about loving your enemies. At the time when Jesus told the story, it would have been really shocking to the people listening, a bit like Jamie said last week with the money. You know, we read it now and we just see like, oh, three people walking along, you know, the priest didn't stop, or that's a bit, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But at the time, the Jewish community absolutely hated the Samaritans. This isn't just, you know, someone that you didn't like very much. They were absolutely enemies. They hated them. They were prejudiced about them so much that having the Samaritan as the hero of this story would have been truly, truly shocking. I don't think we can kind of get that now. I was trying to think of a alternative and I couldn't really think of one. I suppose it would be sort of like at the minute, you know, where there's wars going on, sort of one side and the other side helping. But for us, it's kind of hard. We probably don't have that kind of real feeling of someone else that's our enemy in that way. But we all have our own prejudice of different people that we have negative views about. It might be certain race or certain class or people on benefits, asylum seekers. I don't know what yours is. To be fair, mine, I'm sharing here, is people that are really posh. As soon as I meet them, I just am like, no, you know, like I just completely have prejudice to them straight away of what they're going to be like, which is completely wrong. And I know lots of people that are posh that are absolutely lovely, but that is my first thing. I hear the accent and I'm just like, oh no. So, you know, we've all got people, and quite often it's not something we're aware of. It's not that we're deliberately prejudiced and we go around just like, I don't like that group of people. But, just if you think about it, you know, that have a check of what you're saying in the week, you know, oh, you know, all those people are like that, or, you know, what, I don't, like, it wouldn't be sort of like a real obvious sort of that we all just hate some particular, but in the week, you know, you might just hear yourself saying certain things about a certain group of people or just people that you know that you don't even realise you've got. And find quite often then, you know, just to ask God to highlight that and to just change our hearts so that we're watching what we're saying with our and in our thoughts as well. Because in the kingdom of God, God accepts everyone and Jesus accepts everyone. And that's what we should be doing too. You know, everyone has sacred worth in Jesus. Jesus's blood was shed for every single person. You know, we quite often see the, there's that phrase that says, if you were the only one, Jesus would have still died for you. And that's lovely for us, you know, but actually that's the same for every single person on the earth. If they were the only person, Jesus died for them. So there's no room for prejudice in Christianity at all. And I know over years, you know, people do think Christians are prejudiced in lots of ways and that we sort of look down on other people and things. Which is really sad, because that really is not what the gospel's about. So yeah, I just encourage you this week just to have a think as you're talking, or just check yourself a bit, you know, because it might be just little things that you're saying or doing that you don't even realise about. The next shocking thing would have been who actually didn't help. So like the Levite in the story was like a kind of lawyer. Now, we probably have prejudice and stereotypes about lawyers nowadays and think, well, of course the lawyer wouldn't help. We haven't got that particularly positive views of lawyers. But in those days, the Levite was an expert in Old Testament law. So both him and the priest would have been known in the area for people that were strong in God, people that they went to for advice if they didn't understand the scriptures and needed help. So again, you know, that's quite shocking. They are the ones that are cold and indifferent to the man. At the time, these people were quite revered by everybody in society. And on the outside in the story, these men were religious. But on the inside, they were cold and empty. You know, they didn't want to help him at all. And sometimes, you know, we can get a bit like that. We can go through the motions of going to church and doing what we feel good Christians should do. And we can have all the head knowledge, you know, and know lots about God and know what's going on. But we don't actually let it touch our hearts and change the way that we behave. You know, can I honestly say that if I was running late for this morning and knew that I was speaking and I saw someone down the road that needed help, that I'd stop? I'd hope I would, but would I actually think, oh, someone else will help in a minute, I'm rushing, I've got to get here? You know, that's the reality of life, isn't it? You know, we can be so kind of in our own things that we don't notice, or just, you know, it's our head knowledge, we know it, but we don't always behave because we're, you know, human. So we need to ask God each day to come and soften our hearts for people. And as Jamie said in last week's talk, you know, looking for people every day that we can bless and help as we go about our daily lives. The other thing I noticed in the story, which I'd never actually noticed before, is that right from the beginning, this man is not really seeking Jesus and wanting to know the answers. It tells us at the beginning, which I'd never noticed, in verse 25, that he wants to test Jesus. And then in verse 29, he asks the question, who is my neighbour, to try to justify himself. So it's quite interesting, Jesus's answer, because when he asks, Jesus doesn't ask him what does he think, or what does the synagogue say, what does his priest say. He says, what is written in the law? Or effectively, what does the Bible say for us nowadays? And I was thinking, that's a really good reminder of always referring back to the Bible. You know, nowadays there's so much we can listen to, which is amazing, online, podcasts, you know, YouTube videos. We could listen to sermons and things about God all day long if we wanted to online. And those things are really, really helpful to explain and teach us what we need. But we should always be going back to the Bible every single time and using that as our guide. If it's not in the Bible and someone says it, you know, it contradicts with the Bible, then it's not right. Do you know what I mean? Quite often we can kind of listen to stuff and just take it at face value without actually checking back in to check. But the Bible's our manual for life. And every day we can use it alongside praying and listening to God to show us the right direction to go. And there's kind of two ways to use a manual. I was thinking like my car manual, for example. Some people probably, when they get a car, will read it and know it, so that then when their car goes wrong, they kind of know what's wrong with it. I'm the type of person that doesn't look at it at all, and then when the car goes wrong, I'm trying to frantically find it under the bed and find out where it is. But we can be like that with the Bible as well. You know, it's our manual for life. We should be reading it and knowing it, so that then when we do come across problems, we've got those things in our head to fall back on. We've got those promises of God. We've got those things to remind us, rather than only picking it up or only praying sort of on days when we're struggling and we need a bit of help. I remember hearing a sermon once a long time ago, and they said, you know, when you're feeling good, that's the time when you should be reading the Bible and praying more, so that then when you are struggling and maybe you haven't got the strength to do that as much as you were, you've got all of those truths from God to fall back on. But how many times do we only actually pick it up or think about stuff like that when we're having a rough time, rather than in the good times? You know, God knows each of us like the man in the story. You know, he was half dead in the story. We're dead in our sins, but like the Samaritan, Jesus came and rescued us. And we get eternal life. It's not about what we do, but it's about what he's done for us and what he's given us. And when we become Christians, we receive the eternal life, a new birth, a new heart. And because of this, like the Good Samaritan, our heart should be awakened to have love and compassion for others, regardless of their circumstances or background. I was also thinking with that other bit, how many times do we justify ourselves, like this man in the story asking questions? I justify myself a lot, you know. Oh, I would have read the Bible today, but I had this, and this to do. Or, oh, I'm so busy, I haven't got time to do this, and this. You know, we try and talk ourselves, and yes, I know everybody's busy, please don't hear me wrong, but, you know, we can always justify why we haven't got time to spend time with God, or to spend time doing things that we know we should be doing for God. You know, we can always do that, whether we've got lots of time or no time. You know, so it's just asking God as well to show us the things that we should be doing, you know, and making sure that we're walking in his line, and taking up what he's asking us to, and leaving stuff that he's not asking us to do as well, so that we don't get busy with things that he's not asking us to get involved with. But this story, you know, it's not only about our enemies and the people that we don't like, it's about loving our neighbour. And actually, you know, our neighbour is anyone we come to contact with, from close family that live with us, to someone on the bus, to our work colleagues, to everybody that we meet in our everyday life. That is our neighbour, and that we're called to love everybody. And this can be really overwhelming. You know, it's quite hard. I mean, our families, especially, you think, oh, it's easy to love my family. But actually, our families probably see the worst of us as well as the best. Whereas some other people, you know, that you don't know quite so well, only see like your good side, you know. So, you know, it's a real challenge on every level to be showing God's love. But the Good Samaritan story gives us lots of practical ideas of how to do that. So firstly, he chose to see the need, the Samaritan. So when he saw the man there on the ground, he had two choices. He could have looked away and just carried on like the other two people did, or he could have seen the need. And as we go about our days, every day, we have the same two choices. We can ask God to touch our hearts and open our eyes to the needs around us and respond, or we can choose to be blinkered and just get on with our busy day and not worry. I was thinking the other week, Jenny is all of my Twiglets volunteers are so amazing at getting alongside the mums and chatting. And the other week, one of the mums turns up quite upset, and Jenny just spent the whole morning out there with her, quietly listening to her for the whole morning. Now, she could have been, you know, she could have, any of them would have done it. I don't want to, but she could have just been like, oh, do you know what? The coffee needs doing in 10 minutes. And actually, there's not many helpers in the hall. Come in and just get on with it, sort of thing, you know. But this mum needed that time, and she noticed that need and stayed out there with her. And that was brilliant, you know, and that's what we should be doing. You know, the most important thing we can give people is our time and the fact that they actually feel heard. And if you rush that and kind of are just like, oh, let's get on to the next thing, then people can be left feeling really, you know, not listened to. I mean, I think she really left feeling a lot better than she did coming in, because someone had taken that time to sit and listen. The second thing was that he answered the cry as well. So he didn't just see the need and take pity, he actually took action. Now, this was quite dangerous in this story, because actually we don't know where the robbers still were. They could have been hanging around behind the rocks, and then as soon as he stopped, they could have jumped back out again. And it was probably inconvenient to him. I'm sure he was traveling on the road to go somewhere. He wasn't just, you know, having a walk on that day. So he took action, even though it was dangerous and it was inconvenient to him. And the thing with showing kindness to people is that it's an active word. You have to do something to be kind. If you're being kind to someone, even if it's speaking, you have to actually do something. And the Greek word for kindness is krestos, which means useful. And we need to be useful to others. You know, we need to see people and then take pity, but actually help and do something useful as well. You know, I think how many times when some of my friends have been struggling, do I send a quick, almost like, not a glib, because I do pray for them, but, you know, a quick, oh, I'll pray for you as I'm rushing about for the day, when actually they probably more needed, oh, would you like me to pick your kids up from school at 2 o'clock because you've got to go somewhere? Do you know, it's that sort of thing, you know, of actually seeing, actually, where can I be really useful for that person? Thirdly, he overcame the difference as well. He didn't see that this guy was a Jew or different to him. He just went straight in when he saw the need. And, you know, it doesn't matter if the people around us are similar to us or different to us. They're still our neighbour, and God has called us to love them. So, you know, it's about not seeing the person, but, you know, seeing beyond and just, you know, behaving in the way God does with the people that are right in front of us. And the fourth thing, he refused to give up. So he didn't just patch the man up and leave him there. You know, he could have just got him up on the side of the road, checked he was all right, bandaged his wounds, and then left him there. He actually took him to the inn, gave money, and said, you know, if you owe any more, come back and let me know. So he was obviously going to come back and check on the man as well. And sometimes, you know, we can start with really good intentions to help someone, and we can begin really well, but soon it becomes a bit of a burden, or it becomes half-hearted, and we don't follow that through. Now, I'm not saying, you know, sometimes you do get people that overburden you, or, you know, I'm not saying you have to be praying about it all the time and checking that it is what God wants us to do, and that we're not, you know, just really becoming so burdened that we can't do things ourselves. But at the same time, if we are finding it hard and we feel actually this is what God's calling me to do to help this person by doing this, then we need to really ask him to give us the strength to carry on, you know, and keep going. You know, and also even things like, you know, if you've offered to pray for someone this week, you know, check up, ask how it's going. I mean, Jill's amazing for that. She texted me in the week I'd asked for prayer for Sophie for something. She texted, how did it go? You know, don't, if you've prayed for someone on a Sunday and then you never ask them again how it is, you know, that can feel a bit like, oh, well, you know, no one's interested. I know that's not the case, but, you know, just have a think, try and follow things up. And I feel a bit like I'm preaching to the converted here, because I know this church has such a heart of kindness and a culture for support. And I really want to just really, I can't think of the right word, like bless you in that and just really, you know, uplift you for that, because this church is amazing for doing that. You know, there's nobody that comes into this church and sits on their own and doesn't feel like they've been loved or spoken to. And because you're here, you probably think that's normal. But I can tell you from going to lots of different churches at different times, that's not always the case, which is a real shame. But that is, I've been to churches where people haven't even spoken to me the whole morning when I've been there for a visit. So, it you know, like that is a real thing that you guys are absolutely amazing at. And I just encourage you to really continue to do that, because it really does feel like family when you walk in here, and it really does feel welcoming. So yeah, I just want to really bless you guys in that. You know, when I was doing this, I was thinking, oh my goodness, I'm saying all of this, and I think everybody here is pretty much doing most of it already, but it's always good to challenge ourselves and do stuff. But you know, real life Good Samaritans can inspire us, and kindness can be catching. So I just want you to, you can have a chat to the person next to you, or just think for a minute. I'm going to pop a few questions up. So think of the last time someone was kind to you. And I'm not talking about just like, you know, someone that was really kind to you. What they did, how did it make you feel? And did it make you act differently? Just have a chat to the people next to you and see what you think. Gonna show a little video for you now. Hopefully it will work. Wouldn't suggest trying that at home, although if you, but that is what I always think of with kindness. You know, you're kind to somebody and then it's contagious. You know, you're kind, then it passes off on the next person and the next person and the next person. That was just a bit of a funny way of showing it. But, you know, if you're walking along the road and someone smiles at you, what do you automatically do? Smile back. I don't know if I'm the only person, but I'm not as Viv was saying, I don't think I'd be quite so calm if the bus driver didn't stop. But, you know, if I'm driving and someone lets me out, you know, I'm driving along, you know, and someone lets me out in the traffic, then the next road I come to, I let the next person out because someone's just let me out. If someone doesn't let me out, especially when, like, they're literally, it drives me mad by Carl Shorten boys, they're sitting in traffic and they pull up and block the road so you can't get out to go the other way. That puts me in a really bad mood. And then I don't let the next person out of the road. I'm driving along and I think, no, stuff you, I'm late now, no one let me out. You know, that's not the way we're meant to behave, but that's life, isn't it? You know, when we are shown kindness, we show kindness to others straight away. It's almost an automatic effect. You know, if someone holds the door open for you somewhere, the next door you go through, you tend to look and see who's behind you doing it. And that's the kind of thing we can take places. You know, we can start that legacy in places by being the first one to show the kindness that then rubs off and goes the whole way down and makes a massive chain, like that video of different people being kind to each other. You might not even know that you've done that by the simple act of kindness that you've done. You don't know, as you're walking along the road and you smile at someone, that that person actually is having a really rubbish day and you're the first person that smiled at them in a week. You know, you don't know. They might not be. They might be having a great day. If they are, then they'll just be happy with the smile. If they're not, that could really change their day just by doing something so small. But not only is kindness beneficial to the other person, but it also is beneficial to us as well. You know, it makes us feel good when we're kind to people. And the more we do to help people, and the more we see we've blessed them, it actually makes us want to do more to help as well. So it's actually beneficial on both sides. You know, there's nothing, you know, when you sit down and think, oh, I really helped my friend today to do this, that or the other. You know, there's a really, really good feeling about doing that for us as well as for the person that we've helped. So it does go both ways as well. But yeah, I'd just like to encourage you this week as I finish. You know, God has given us so much. He's rescued us and he's given us eternal life. And, you know, he's there for us to ask. You know, we can't do this on our own. We're human. You know, we get cross, we get fed up. Every day we need to ask God to change and soften our hearts and open our eyes and ears to be aware of the needs around us. Because otherwise we just walk about blinkered all the time, just getting on with our own things. So, you know, wherever we are this week, at school, work, around the shops, here in the local area, at the church doing stuff, you know, let's just look around, not just this week, but always for opportunities just to show kindness and love to those people around us, because that really shows God's heart. And that is actually, you know, when we're talking about the ideal of, you know, seeing our friends and our loved ones come to know Jesus, that's the way it's going to happen, by seeing that we're different and we're kindness and we're loving. You know, that's how people are going to want to know actually what's making you be like this. And that's where we can share the gospel afterwards. So, yeah, let's just pray to finish. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you so much, you know, for all that you've done for us. We thank you that we were, you know, like that man in the story, just like dead in our sins, stuck there, and you came and you rescued us and you saved us, Lord. And yeah, we just ask for each of us that you will just soften our hearts, Lord, open our eyes to the needs of those around us, and send people to us this week, Lord, that we can really help in a practical way and show love and kindness to, Lord, I pray. Amen.